From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fifth day of October 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Hear about the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard up at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. Jim Angel will be along, Illinois State climatologist, to look at, well, the month of September and then, of course, what the weather forecast might be like for the coming week. And we'll hear from Scott Irwin. He and Daryl Good did some work to take a look at how this drought year compares to previous drought years, in particular 1988, and what it might mean for the USDA reports next week. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago, on a Friday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. December contract in the soft red winter wheat down 11 and 3 quarters today on its close, and settlement price at 857 and a half, July at 840 and a quarter, settled 3.5 cents lower. The hard red in Kansas City, the settlement there as well, $8.69 and 3 quarters, down 6 and 3 quarters. Just closes from the corn and the bean pits at this point. December futures there, 747 and a quarter in the corn, down 9 and 3 quarters. The March at 748, 9 and a quarter lower, and the May closed at 743 and a half, down 9 and 3 quarters. July corn, 737. Down 9 and a quarter, and December futures $6.26 a bushel, down a penny and 3 quarters. That for the harvest month of 2013. November soybeans on a close at $15.52, an actual gain just a half cent higher. January futures at $15.51 were unchanged from yesterday, and the March soybeans at $15.13 and 3 quarters were down 4 and 3 quarters. May contract 14.60 and a half, down 9.5 cents on the close. And July futures at 14.43 and a quarter, down 11. November beans of next year at $13.23, down 11 and a quarter cents. Live cattle futures for the day finished the December at 126.20. That's 50 cents higher. February at 129.75, up 30. November feeders at 146.20, 37 and a half cents higher. And January futures at $149 even, up 50 cents. December lean hogs, $76.55 per 100 pounds, finished 50 cents higher. February is at $82 even, up 32 and a half cents. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading November at $89.85 a barrel, down $1.85. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, $2.95.2 a gallon. That's 0.9 cents higher. Ethanol at $2.40.2, down a penny and a tenth. And the spread is now 55 cents. That's 2 cents wider than it was yesterday, and positive for using ethanol in the gasoline supply. Natural gas at $3.39 and 2 tenths. That's a penny and 4 tenths lower for the day. And diesel fuel at $3.14 and 9 tenths, down 3.8 cents. Gold futures on the afternoon at $1,779.40 an ounce, down $15.70. The dollar at 79.33. That's down 1.8. That's down a penny and 0.8 cents. It's down 0.01 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. It says occasional showers, possibly a thunderstorm or two, just a high of 48 degrees this afternoon on a north to northwest wind at about 7 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation in the area set at 80%. Tonight, showers before 1 a.m., cloudy during the early evening hours, gradually clearing. A low of 35 degrees this evening on a west-northwest wind at 6 to 9. Rainfall about 40% of a chance. And then Saturday, mostly sunny, a high of 52 on a northwest wind at 7 to 14. Saturday evening, mostly cloudy and 32 degrees. Sunday, sunny and 53. Sunday evening, mostly cloudy and 33. And on Columbus Day, Monday, sunny skies and a high of 60 degrees. Monday night, mostly clear and a low of 42. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the 5th day of October. On this Friday afternoon, we're joined to take a look at the futures markets by Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hello there, Todd.
How'd you like the performance of anything on the grains floor today?
I liked it a lot better before 11 o'clock, I can tell you that much.
I thought that might have been the case.
It was a lot nicer to see the beans leading on demand and the corn and wheat not fighting because of the downward pressure they've had because of the bean market. But that all turned tide and that momentum shifted mainly on the fact that the wheat and the corn turned lower after we saw the Informa numbers. There's also talk that maybe Landworth was out with some numbers as well. I didn't see confirmation of that. But these private estimates, starting with FC Stone this week and a lot of others, some of the biggies continue to show much bigger yield, and even in the corn they showed bigger yield and bigger production. I think that's probably what got underneath the market's positive temperament and that bean-led demand temperament and shifted the momentum back down to where beans are actually fighting to stay positive by the close today.
And the Informa numbers weren't really a small change because they pushed total crop size for corn above 11 billion.
No, and I think that's a big point. I think that the Informa numbers were not far from where the trade was trading. Now, when I saw Bloomberg came out right before the close and an average of 31 analysts, their estimates came out at 656 for ending stocks and a production of 10.616, and that sure made the Informa numbers look a lot more bearish and some of the others along with it. And I would say probably the same thing for the beans. The average yield came in at 36.9. That looks a lot lower than 38.2 that we got from FC Stone. So I actually think maybe the Bloomberg numbers that came out with carryover for average carryover of 656 and average bean carryover of 135, those look pretty positive to me. I think that it's $7 December corn futures or thereabouts for the lows and $15 November bean futures for the lows. I think those numbers are very well supported at those price levels.
Now, come back to the positive things that were happening before these numbers came out into the marketplace, because fundamentals really make the difference. China was in the market this week again for soybeans, despite the fact they were supposed to be on vacation as a nation, I think.
Yeah, and you know, we're at 82% now of the USDA forecast for total exports, and last year at this time we're at 46%. And so I think that's probably where, if I had to pick one or the other in terms of next Thursday's report, beans maybe have a little bit more going for them because of the demand side and because we have, I think, factored in a lot of the September 1 stocks bearishness after Friday's rally. We just didn't get much after that, and we really started to trade beans pretty much the whole week until we came around yesterday or the day before yesterday. But you had Malaysian palm oil bottoming out after making a 3-year low. That's been a major factor we've been talking about as far as why these oilseed markets continue to drop. And I think you've got plenty of discount now in the palm oil market, and that vegetable oil market in general shouldn't be as much of a bearish indicator to the marketplace from here on out after going down to levels not seen since 2009. I think you've also got this issue with the El Nino, the northern Brazil areas. Those are going to come, I think, back into focus, Todd, after we finally get past the numbers. And so you throw all the weather, you throw on the outside markets, the dollar hitting 2-week lows yesterday. You see the ethanol starting to improve in terms of demand and plants starting to run again. You talked about the weekly export sales. I think you've got a lot of reasons out there fundamentally to go ahead and try and put a price bottom in place, but guess what's missing, and that is the technicals. We couldn't get back up above some of those key technical levels like the 765 level in D's corn or the 1560 level in November beans. I think that's probably where your fund money sits as far as getting them back into the market on the long side.
So when you look at the technical side of the marketplace, corn actually looks much better than soybeans at the moment, I think, but you'll have
no,
to tell
agree.
Me.
I think that's the key. I think that's a huge point. I think another huge point is the daily charts say go ahead and buy it if you didn't know anything about fundamentals and you just looked at the daily oscillators. But the weekly charts really still have a lot of problems with them. They're still in sell signals. We're still below some key moving averages. And so from a standpoint of taking a step back and trading longer than just a week or 10 days, you would say sell rallies if you're a pure technician, in my opinion, when you look at the weekly and monthly charts.
Right. So, and beans were off almost 50 cents for the week.
My gosh, if you wouldn't have had that bottom put in by Wednesday and that reversal come in on Wednesday, I think that you probably would have had to have acknowledged that maybe next week going into the report, there was no hope for the beans to turn around. But I think maybe technically speaking and some of the end-user demand that's starting to be talked about, when I saw crush margins go above 50 cents today a bushel, and I know there's a lot of talk of bean piles out in the Dakotas and bean piles in Minnesota, but my gosh, those people are 50% ahead of normal in terms of harvest of their beans for this time of year. So I think maybe what we did in the last 2 days of the trading Wednesday and Thursday, middle of the week, and then holding it all together today maybe brought some support to the beans sentiment-wise, but you're right. If we wouldn't have turned around and been a dollar lower, that would have been a really tough thing to swallow.
Yeah, it was a dollar, almost a dollar trading range, not quite for the week,
yep.
And we kind of ended up right in the middle. So we were at 1.50 cents higher than we are now, and we were at 1 point about 50 cents lower than we are. But that low looks, while the beans had a kind of a rough week, that low looks pretty good, I suppose, down there. You think it can hold?
I think it has to. I think that's how I look at it, and that's what I've been talking to clients about, is that we're through the harvest pressure. We've got weather back on our side in South America, especially in Mato Grosso and northern Paraná. You've got these other things we've just gone through. I think that if you can't find a bottom after the report and hold those lows after the report, then either the ending stocks are much bigger than the trade was thinking, or the outside markets are starting to come in and really work against the idea of risk. And I think that goes back to we just aren't seeing the hedge fund demand or investment levels that we got used to seeing 3, 4, 5 years ago. That hedge fund money just has not really come back into the market like it was pre-crisis level, and I think that makes those macro factors even more important to us. So I've been telling the clients at this point, if you can't hold these recent lows after the report comes out, then you really do have to get nervous about the rest of October being a tough month. And again, it goes back to the crop insurance price being figured. You're really at a price pressure point here. You don't want to lose any more.
Right. Okay. Turn your attention to wheat because it's having a tough time, at least fundamentally in the field, this is.
Yes.
Because the hard red growing regions really haven't got enough rain to make it work yet. And then in the soft red growing regions, for instance, south of us, they've got so much rain, they don't have a chance at all to put it in.
No, and you know what's happened here in the trader mindset and psychology is they don't have the confidence to trade outright at this point in time. So what they've done is they found the sweet spot in the spread, sell the front end because the demand's relatively weak and because the corn market's been going down, but stay strong in the new crop and keep your premium in the new crop, and in essence, increase your carrying charge and turn the market into a more negative bias. And I think that's something that in 30 days from now they're going to have to reevaluate that if we don't get any more rain out of the southern plains. And that puts you back into the corn and beans, too, when it comes to the carrying charge. You've got now in settlements today November beans back above January, so we're inverted now in the bean complex again. That should be friendly, the cash market, and friendly the spread trade and the fund bias, especially if we can get those technicals back like we talked about. So then corn, these corn closed a half a penny lower than March. Will it be back premium to the March after we get USDA's report next week? These are big, big issues, I think, that we have to watch, because whatever's in the bin, that carrying charge versus inversion, controls not only the basis or helps control it, but it also helps control the fund investment, too.
All right. And then on the week, lean hogs had quite a nice little rally. They
did. I think all week long, ever since the gain report came out at the end of last week, talking about China backing away from corn and bean imports and going after more pork imports, I think all week long we essentially saw that get priced in to the market and the hogs. And I think at this point in time, I've been hedging into the market ever since Tuesday's rally and finished up today. And I think this is where, for the fourth quarter, I like bought puts only right now in case we do get more Chinese demand than expected. But you can lock in some really good floors at this stage. And then you come back around next week and take care of your corn and your meal if you're a livestock feeder, so you don't leave anything open as you go into the first quarter.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Have a great weekend, Todd.
You too. Mike Zuzalos with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting joins us on this Friday afternoon to take a look at the futures market in Chicago.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Hey, you know, next week, the United States Department of Agriculture will report estimates of the nation's fall harvested crops. Those numbers will be well off the expected trend lines. We already all know that. The ag economist at the University of Illinois, however, explored just how far off by comparing this growing season to past drought years. More in a moment.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The Illinois Ag Economist have done the number crunching to see how the drought of 2012 stacks up against other drought years, primarily 1988. They simplified the process by taking only statewide data from Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa over a five-month period from April to August. 2012 and 1988 were very similar in total average temperature and total rainfall, but the 2 years varied considerably in the timing of the heat and lack of rainfall, says University of Illinois ag economist Scott Irwin.
What you saw was that it was much drier earlier, April, May, and the first part of June in 1988, but then in 2012, in particular, in the month of July, it was much drier and much hotter than in 1988.
The hotter July made the 2012 drought much more severe. The heat across the Corn Belt came just as the crop was pollinating. The Illinois ag economists say they expect the heat caused this year's drought to be 3 bushels to the acre worse than 1988, or an average difference from the trend yield of 35 bushels to the acre. It was 32 in 1988.
So that lines up with the idea that in 2012, the weather was actually harsher for corn production prospects in 2012 than 1988, and that leads us to a conclusion. We won't be surprised, given that severity of July weather, that the USDA continues to have maybe some small downward adjustments in the U.S. Average corn yield.
Soybeans are a very different story from corn. The August weather in 2012 and 1988 was wetter and cooler. Soybeans responded to that relief. That response has yet to be picked up this year by USDA.
So we might not expect any larger of a trend deviation for soybeans this year, 2012, than 1988. But in fact, the USDA's most recent forecast shows a substantially larger deviation from trend downward for 2012 compared to 1988. So that leads us to think that we won't be surprised if the USDA's yield forecast is on beans is bumped up at least 2 bushels to make the deviation more similar in 2012 than 1988.
To be clear, the deviation only includes the August weather and not September. Irwin thinks August weather was more important for soybeans than the September rains. The hotter 2012 July was more devastating for corn. Speaking of which, it was a very hot July, one that will last in the memories of farmers for a long time.
This is probably the best way to see that. In 1980, in most of these states, the July temperature was about 3 degrees above normal. In 1983, usually considered a benchmark of a bad late summer heat wave, we were about 3.5 degrees above average temperatures. In July 2012, we were over 6 degrees above normal. So it was beyond way hot.
July of 1988 doesn't even make the list of hottest Julys on record. For reference, July 1936 was the hottest Corn Belt wide. In Champaign County, Illinois, it was 8 degrees above normal for the month. 2012's July in Champaign County was the second hottest on record. For University of Illinois, I'm Todd Gleason. Now, if you'd like to see that conversation with Scott Irwin, actually see it, video that is, you can visit our website at willag.org. I've got an edited version of just the raw interview there. You can go back through it and see what Scott Irwin is thinking about the comparison of the drought of 2012 to 1988 and some of the previous really dry years. One other thing you'll find on that website is our weekend program. That's called Commodity Week, and we'll post it by about 6 o'clock this evening. Our guest this week is John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures, so be sure you visit the website at willag.org. We record at about 4:30 on Friday afternoons.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Trophy Time in Champaign. Trophy Time features personalization of wedding accessories like cake knives, toasting glasses, and gifts for the wedding party. A complete online catalog can be found at trophytime.com. They're more than just trophies.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, is on the phone line to take a look at the cash grain market. Hi, Bruce. How are you today?
Great.
Is it quiet there? I can't imagine it's not.
It is quiet. We had a couple earlier rainouts, so a lot of your coming in to take care of the accounting, bookkeeping type chores have already been done. So today was just quiet.
Yeah, well, that's better than being really, really busy with the accounting stuff. I think you probably have more fun when the trucks are coming in than anything else. Is my guess.
It's a lot more interesting. And it's a lot more fun. It's kind of like having your purpose for being here when you're actually dumping corn.
That's right. Hey, so how did the harvest go in your area, and how far along are you?
Oh, I'm guessing on corn we're somewhere in the 85% range, a little bit variable, but 85-95% done on corn. Beans, oh, maybe a third the way done.
And there's no worry on the beans at this point. I assume everything's is mature and just waiting at this time.
Mature, but tough to combine. I mean, there's green stems, green leaves, pods. So it's going to be a chore, I think, for the guys out there who are running the combine. But they're mature, and the beans themselves are dry. It's just kind of a harder crop to handle.
Yeah, how's the yield been?
Real variable in general, maybe a little bit better than expected. I've got an area that's probably 35 to 40 and another that's probably, 45 to 55.
Mm-hmm. And tell me about basis in the area.
Basis just keeps hanging in there, really not a whole lot of change. We continue to be at a 10 under number, so that's been within a penny or so of that for the last couple weeks. Corn is 10 over, and again, pretty quiet for the last couple weeks on basis, but historically a stemmy number.
Yeah, so last year was a really odd year. We stayed over in overs almost all year long. What do you think about the coming year?
Corn stays in overs, I think, for the year. Beans, we've got a good chance of getting there. We do have probably yields a little bit better than what the market was expecting on soybeans, and you're in a surge at harvest, but you get the crop put away and there's space for it. I think we have to come back and we'll see plus numbers trading there for the balance of the year. And then a really strange year. We'll hand off the ball to exports as soon as the South American crop comes online, but we should be sucking the bins dry by the end of the year here.
Your bids for the day?
We are at 758 on nearby corn and 1542 on soybeans.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That is Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois.
Support for WILL Agricultural Reports comes from Country Financial. Information on federal crop insurance programs for next year is available now from your Country Financial representative or crop specialist. Country Financial is an equal opportunity provider.
Back in 2 minutes with the agricultural weather.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood and Paul Stevens of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123.
Hey, have you ever listened to Commodity Week? If not, this is a great weekend to try. John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures is our guest this week, and our panelists will include Bill Mayer, Jackie Vakes, and Dan Zwicker. Commodity Week is our weekly look at the world of agriculture and commodity trade. You can hear it on many of these radio stations and on our home radio stations at 6 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. on Saturday morning. That's on WILL here in Urbana-Champaign. But before that, you can pick it up off our website at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. We record at 4:30 on Friday afternoons and then finesse it just a bit and usually have it up by about 6 o'clock, usually a half hour before that, but let's say 6 p.m. Central Time on Friday nights. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what happened in the world of commodity trade. Our guest this week, John Bondurant of Bondurant Futures in Memphis, Tennessee.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Sign up for the WILAG e-newsletter. It's free and on our website at WILLAG.org. There you'll find all of our programming and a way to subscribe to the newsletter over on the right-hand side of the page at WILLAG.org. On this Friday afternoon, let's check the agricultural weather forecast with Jim Angel. He's at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, and serves as the state climatologist. Jim, thanks so much for taking the time with us. Could you go back and recap the month of September for us, please?
Yes. Thanks for having me, Todd. For September, it's actually something to celebrate. We had their first cooler and wetter than normal month of 2012. After months of very warm temperatures and not much rainfall, we finally got some wet weather, in part thanks to Hurricane Isaac. But overall, the September rainfall statewide average was 4.9 inches. That's 1.7 inches wetter than normal. And so we had basically south of Interstate 80 had a lot of rain. They had about 3 to 10 to 12 inches in many places. I think Centralia got almost 16 inches. So very much of a different story than what we've experienced so far. Temperature-wise, it's also fairly cool around the state as well, and that continues as we move into October now. In fact, right now it feels more like November rather than October. It's about 45 degrees and rain outside, so.
So East Central and Southern Illinois all got rain. How about West Central and then Northern Illinois? Did they differ very much?
They did. They did not get as much of a benefit from Isaac. And as a result, the rainfall totals in those areas are more in the 1 to 2 inch range. And so that part of the state is still in a fairly severe degree of drought. I think they're in many places in the moderate to extreme drought over in that part of the state. So they've still got some. That's probably the part of the state that I'm most concerned about right now as far as the drought conditions. I feel much better about Southern Illinois because they've gotten so much rain in the month of August and September, and now even October, they're still getting some rain down there. So I think we're seeing some nice recovery in things like soil moisture and stream flows in those areas. But that western and northern part of the state is still struggling with drought.
And it would be on the, I'll call it the leading edge of the drought as you go into the western area. So Iowa is still tough. Nebraska is still really dry. And maybe even parts of Minnesota.
That's right. Yeah. In fact, those areas are actually getting worse as we move into the fall season. And I was talking to the South Dakota state climatologist earlier this week, and he says, you know, they have a rainy season, and it's just about to end. They're not that wet in the fall and winter months, so if they don't catch up now, it's going to be very tough for them next spring.
Yeah, it could be turning really bad really fast, I suppose.
Exactly.
What is your expectation for our part of the world in the coming week?
Well, it looks a little better than that. We've got, after this cold front pushes through on Saturday, it'll be the rain will stop. Highs will be in the 50s, lots of sunshine. But fairly cold at night. We'll get down to the 32-degree mark on Saturday night and again on Sunday night. So it could be pretty chilly there for a couple of days. It'll warm up a little bit next week with highs back up into the 60s and lows in the 40s. That's about normal for this time of year.
Thanks so much, Jim.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute. Joins us on a Friday afternoon for the closing market report. Pick up Commodity Week off our website. Bondurant is our guest at willag.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.